You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Good evening, everybody. It's 7:02. Let's just sing it.
In my arms when I want you, and all your charms whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream.
Couple more months, man. Couple more months. May 21st, Lauren and I get married. And this will be the song that I dance with my mother to. Been talking about that since I was a little boy. That's actually going to happen in a couple of months. It's very, very weird, but I'm going to relish the opportunity. I've spoken about this on the show once before, but of all the times that this has happened, that this song has come on CBS FM over here in New York, and Cousin Brucey, dominating the airwaves. And every time this song would come on, I remember one time in particular, and it's the only time I can think of. We were parked at the Mobil gas station off of King Street in Port Chester. And while my mother was pumping gas, she hears a song come on in the interior of the car. And she just pokes her head up right through the window and say, "Remember, we're dancing to the song at your wedding." The hell's that time go? I'll tell you where that time goes. That time goes into every goddamn sunset. I swear to God, it's just like every sunset sucks all the. It's like a whirlpool. I don't know what it is. Check out the sun, and it is as it falls below the horizon. It like takes time with it. I swear to God, it does. But we're going to be covering a lot of things tonight, and I want to get around to almost all of them if we can. What's going on, iLock? What's going on, Thorn? What's going on, Nikki? What's going on, Max? And for everybody that's going to be joining us throughout the hour, welcome ahead of time. And what I wanted to get, first of all, at 7:40 tonight, I have a wonderful friend of mine, Josie. I'm going to be calling her up at 7:40, and she's not only going to give us her thoughts as a Cuban American about the wet foot, dry foot policy that Obama has rescinded. And pretty much effectively thrown all of the people in Cuba who want to flee from the horrors of communism and a one-party system, pretty much throwing them back to the wolves. They're going to be calling up. We're going to be calling her up at 7:40. Not only that, but she's going to tell the story of her son's grandfather. And we're gonna hear all about that. That's going to be a good one. Max Incaparato, our resident astronomer, says time actually goes slower in gravitational wells, so the sun does actually suck up time. Very, very interesting. Everybody, remember that. We also have to talk about this book. Not only do we have to talk about this book, because it just came in today, so I'm only a few pages into it, but I already have the highlighter going on. Already with the highlighter. It's called Blacklisted by History, the untold story of Senator Joe McCarthy and his fight against America's enemies. This was one of the major sources that was cited in one of Stephen Molyneux's recent uploads onto YouTube and to his podcast, the Free Domain Radio podcast. and it was The Truth About McCarthyism. It's about 3.5 hours. I implore you, I implore all of you, please listen to it, watch it. If you have time, it's 3.5 hours, so take it piecemeal. Listen to it on your rides and your commutes here and there. Get it onto your iTunes, your whatever the hell it is. Go and look for it. This is one of the most striking things that I need to... I'm going to be studying this. I'm going to dedicate myself to the things in this book and following all of this back down to its conclusions. You already know what I've called for on this show alone, the return of HUAC. And there's a lot of touchy things, especially if we're talking about... if you're talking from a libertarian type of standpoint, very touchy things about the idea of McCarthyism and trying to root out agents of, you know, the Marxist persuasion from our government. Lots of things there because, of course, you know, that bleeds into the Hollywood blacklist and this and that. And Arthur Miller, even though he was a confirmed communist, card-carrying member at that. But there's so much in here that is needed. Everybody needs to see this. The biggest thing about it is the way that the media and the way that all these fellow travelers are protecting each other and how they divert away from investigations and they divert away from actually getting anything done, and it's protection, evasion, getting rid of evidence. The destruction and the removal of evidence just from the National Archives is unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a battle that we have been fighting secretly for the most part since the 1930s. And now, if you look at what's going on in this country right now, it is all in the open. It is very much in the open. People are loud and proud communists. That's just what's going on. And it brings up a couple of things in me. Because, of course, these are views that are held and have been employed by the likes of China. And, of course, that China was heavily influenced by Russia, the Soviet Union, and the entire Soviet bloc. You study Marx and Engels, and you see where all this has come from and where it's going. And then you look at everybody's, all of the left in this country's real scares. They're just so scared of Russian influence. You start wondering, I wonder why. And then we see Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning, a.k.a. Bradley Manning, who has his sentence commuted today by President Obama. Now, we haven't gotten into this in the show. We haven't gotten into Chelsea Manning. We have not gotten into Edward Snowden. And we haven't gotten very much into any kind of topics that relate to Israel. And for reasons that I've already told you before. Because of the little I know, I don't feel like I have any kind of a stance on it. But from what kind of observations I make, to think about what landed Chelsea Bradley Manning into prison for decades, he was due to get out in 2045. Some people think he should have been executed. But if you want to look at why he was in prison for that long, it's because hundreds of thousands of pieces of intelligence information, classified information, that are probably still being combed through by our enemies around the world, or people who want to do harm to the United States. You know, it's one thing to say you're an enemy of the United States government, and I mean, you could be a flag-waving American and still be an enemy of the government. America was born from disdain and distrust of centralized government. So by no means do I equate love of country and love of American values to love of the American government and the rogue agents that have taken this train for a very long time now, especially in the last 100 years of progressivism alone, and done what they've done around the world and domestically. But if you look at what Bradley Chelsea Manning was locked away for the release of all of that classified information, it makes you wonder who in the Democrat Party is going to be standing up and applauding this while at the same time wanting to already open up impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump because they believe that they have been corrupted by foreign governments, and they're very, very scared of hacking and of releasing of classified information and sensitive information on a political level. They're very, very upset and very, very, you know, protective of sensitive information all of a sudden. And now their patron saint, Barack Obama, in his final days in office, thank fucking whatever God you follow. Goodbye. And now that their patron saint has pretty much released Bradley Manning, what would have been a 2045 release is going to be a May release from prison. What stance do you take on that one? Okay, so listen, we haven't gotten into this conversation, but just an observational standpoint. From an observational standpoint, purely superficial, that's the first question I'm asking. No matter what, you can be a person out there who may, you know, you have your opinions on Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks and all this stuff, and you can say what you want. But there is already a very, very clear, at least to me, a very clear conflict here of narratives and of stances. Brian O'Connor in the chat room says, of the three, Manning was the least egregious. He was tortured while still in Iraq, being locked in a Connex container. Connex container. Either way, like I said, I'm not here to sit and talk about details and get preachy about what Bradley Manning did or did not do. What I'm saying is that if we're getting all uppity about the protection of information and the disseminating of classified or secret information and trying to influence this and influence that, what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? And let's get to the first creep. Let's get to the first creep of the day. Okay, this is actually from InfoWars. So Maxine Waters from California, another absolutely insane person, just a woman who just is getting paid way too much, and especially getting paid way too much attention. And the fact that she speaks and some people listen and think that she's a very astute, necessary part of governance and actually a warrior for all that is good and American is unbelievable. So California Congresswoman Maxine Waters was egged on by MSNBC anchor Chris Matthews to explain why Trump's presidency was not legitimate. Okay, Matthews and Waters then engaged in some of the most dumb speculation ever aired on broadcast, and I agree with this. Listen to this for a second. Let me turn off Jerry Vale just for a second. Listen to this.
Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California, who also plans to skip the inauguration. Also joining us is Republican strategist John Brabender.
Oh, no, she's going to skip.
Congresswoman, let me ask you about that. I guess there's two issues here. Is Trump going to be a legitimate president of the United States, actually president of the United States, or not? And are there questions about what role the Russians played in this election?
What is that? What does that first question even mean? Maxine, is President Trump going to be a legitimate president? I don't know. Is he going to put his hand on the book and say the oath? I don't know. Is that going to happen? What are you talking about, legitimate?
I personally believe they're separate questions, but do you?
No, absolutely not. And I think when John talked about him being illegitimate, he really was talking about the fact that the questions are still out there about whether or not the Russians did play.
The questions are still out there about whether or not the Russians. This woman is a fucking Muppet. Hold on. I can't stand looking at her face. All these people are Muppets. They're not speaking. They're not saying anything. They're playing a part. They're just as big as the actors and the actresses, the biggest bullshit artists, as the actors and the actresses we get lectured to every time somebody gives a fucking stupid little trophy to the other one. Oh, my God.
Play a role in determining what happened in our elections. And also,
you want to determine what happened in your elections? You are a repugnant party. You stand for repugnant things. Even though you dress all of your shit, your internal shit up with this candy coating, okay? You are a repugnant party, and you were exposed for being such, okay? You were being exposed for it. There was no lying there. You were exposed for the race baiting, profiling, conniving, media colluding bunch that you, election stealing bunch, anti-Semitic bunch that you've ever had, that we've ever got the pleasure of watching go down in flames. And you saddled the responsibility of winning the election, a repugnant bunch that you are, saddled that responsibility onto the shoulders of one of the most flawed, one of the most ill-prepared, even though you say that she was the most prepared. Never before have we seen a candidate that was ever more ready for this post, ever more equipped with experience for this post than the influence-peddling Hillary Clinton. The most corrupt, vile, smirking bitch we've ever seen in our lives, and she went down in a ball of flames. Went down in a ball of flames, and thank God for it. Thank God for it. Let's go back just a couple of seconds so I don't miss anything that this Muppet has to say.
Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California, who also plans to skip the inauguration. Also joining us is Republican strategist John Brabender.
Congresswoman, let me
ask you about that. I guess there's two issues here. Is Trump going to be a legitimate president of the United States, actually president of the United States, or not?
And Chris Matthews looks a little bit more sober than he usually is, slurring.
Are there questions about what role the Russians played in this election? I personally believe they're separate questions, but do you?
No, absolutely not. And I think when John talked about him being illegitimate, he really was talking about the fact that the questions are still out there about whether or not the Russians did play a role in
Do you play a role?
What happened in our elections. And also,
you know what? Who cares? How many times do we have to say it now? Of course, on MSNBC, Maxine Waters knows that she's speaking to the lowest functioning single-cell organisms the country has in its ranks who own a TV. Okay? She knows that she is... All of them, Hillary Clinton, all of them, they speak very slowly, and they say things very deliberately. Did the Russians play a role? It's like she's talking to three-year-olds. Because, of course, a three-year-old doesn't need to be told the nuances of it doesn't matter if the Russians played a role. Baby Ruth? Because there's nothing here. There was no lying that went on here. Real, blooded, warm-blooded, hot-blooded Americans walked up to the election booths, okay? And they cast their votes with real information in hand. Real information. Who cares what it came from? Who cares? Who cares? It could have came from the gaggle of characters on Sesame Street. Who cares? You want to shut down PBS? Who the fuck gives a shit?
I think John was talking about there are going...
Of course, and I refer to him as John because I want you to know just how much of an amazing, close relationship I have with civil rights icon John Lewis, which, of course, that is his entire first name. Okay, I don't know anybody aside from her right now saying John. I don't know anybody who has said, referred to John Lewis without first saying civil rights icon John Lewis. It's his whole first name. Makes you wonder what his last name is.
Going to be more investigations to determine whether or not Trump or his advocates, people associated with him on his staff in the campaign, whether or not there was some collusion, whether or not there was exchange of information, whether or not they were strategizing together.
Oh, it sounds like, you know, if you weren't thinking about her and her dentures almost trying to fall out, trying to fight their way out of her mouth, it's almost as if you didn't know she was talking about the Russians, you would think that she was explaining all of the things that we read in the emails from WikiLeaks. You would think that she was talking about the collusion between the media and the DNC. And you would think that she was talking about the feeding of information from Donna Brazile at CNN to Hillary Clinton and her campaign so that they knew what questions were coming out of the debates. You would think that if she wasn't talking about this ridiculous Russian narrative that won't go away, that she was talking about all the things we read about her and her party in the WikiLeaks. You would think that that's what she was talking about. It's almost to a T. It's like a carbon copy of everything we learned about her corrupt gaggle of cohorts, her comrades. You'd think that she was talking about the leaks.
And I think that's what he was trying to describe. Other people are trying to talk about this... you know, democracy, and whether or not once you question whether someone is legitimate, that you are questioning whether or not the democracy works. And people, you know, don't want it to be that you are deciding that somehow the electoral system doesn't work, the democracy doesn't work, et cetera. He's really talking about this unusual occurrence where... In fact, yeah. We know that the Russians played an important role, and they tried to support Mr. Trump, and they tried to make sure that Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. And so I think that's a legitimate discussion.
Well, let's talk about where that...
She's just so happy that she got it all out. Then she had a little bit of a smirk at the end where she's like, oh, wow, that all came out, and it might have made sense to the third graders. It didn't make sense to anybody who's a little bit higher functioning, has an IQ of greater than 50, but man, but that probably really struck home for all the third graders at home.
It leads to, Congresswoman, you've raised a good point here. I guess for you, it is important. If we find out that somebody on behalf of Donald Trump was on the phone or in email relations with somebody in Russia or the ambassador to America from Russia, and there was some sort of, as you call it...
You remember when Barack Obama was caught trying to influence the re-election of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel? Remember that, guys?
Illusion. Then what? Does that make Trump subject to impeachment? What do you mean by not legitimate? Just generally, what you mean by the term.
Well,
if you find out there was a connection, there was collusion.
You know what? I guess it's good for Maxine Waters to be able to have something to do. People like Maxine Waters, we should just give them something to do for 4 years. Because if you think about it, they don't want to take part in the functions of this republic. They don't believe in the functions of a republic. They believe in the one party systems that they have had such an amazing. In admiration for in places like Cuba and around the world. So I guess it's something good for them to do in the meantime. They'll just keep talking about it. It'll be 2019, and they're like, we think that we might have finally found the smoking gun in Russia. And by that time, you know.
Term.
Well, here's what I'm trying to get to. If we discover that Donald Trump or his advocates played a role in...
Advocates.
Helping to devise strategy, if they're the ones who came up with crooked Hillary, if they're the ones who came up with she's ill, something's wrong with her energy.
If the Russians came up with crooked Hillary, it is such a Donald Trump thing to say. To think that the Russians were like, you know what would be good? Tell him to say crooked Hillary. Come out. They market tested, you know, what sound like him. And he's like, yeah, that was good. Yeah, I'll use it. Yeah, where'd he get little Marco from? Hugo Chavez? You fucking idiot. You're an idiot. Oh my God, our tax money, our taxes pay people like her. Oh my God, taxes pay her. She eats because of us. That is a terrible, terrible thing to think, to consider. What a terrible thing to consider. This woman eats because of us. Let's just move on. And Max, you're right. Hillary's number one donor was the Saudis. Absolutely. And Qatar. Absolutely. It's just sick. And oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Russians like, hey, oh, question her health. Question her health. Was it the Russians and Donald Trump that made her pass out? Stumble all over the place? Not be able to get up a small flight of steps without the help of two burly Secret Service agents or whoever the hell they were? Personal bodyguards? You think we needed the Russians to look at Hillary when she has fucking alien globules coming out of her mouth falling into water? The water that she's drinking? Oh, my, we needed the Russians to think that something was wrong with Hillary? They threw her into the back of a van like she was a piece of cod. Oh, my God. The cough that didn't go away for years. What the fuck? I mean, I don't understand who they think they're trying to sell this bullshit to. But then again, we know who they're selling the bullshit to. Now, moving on from that, here is from Zero Hedge. New ABC Washington Post poll shows drop in Trump's favorability courtesy of aggressive oversampling. Okay, aggressive oversampling. In the month led up to the election on November 8th, we repeatedly demonstrated how the mainstream media polls from the likes of ABC and Washington Post, CNN, and Reuters repeatedly manipulated their poll samples to engineer their desired results, namely a large Hillary Clinton lead. And we went through all those on this show every night. In fact, just 16 days prior to the election, an ABC Washington Post poll showed 12-point lead for Hillary, a result that obviously turned out to be embarrassingly wrong for all the pollsters. But proving they still got it, ABC Washington Post and CNN are out with a pair of polls on Trump's favorability this morning that sports some of the most egregious oversamples we've seen yet. The ABC Washington poll, Washington Post poll showed an 8-point sampling margin for Democrats, with only 23% of the results taken from Republicans. While the CNN poll showed an 8-point advantage for Democrats, with only 24% of respondents identifying as Republicans. A total of 1,000 adults were interviewed by telephone nationwide by live interviewers calling both landline and cell phones. Among the entire sample, 32% described themselves as Democrats, 24% describes themselves as Republican, 44% describes themselves as independents or members of another party. So there they go. The oversampling continues. And it's amazing. I brought this up because this was being passed around. These favorability polls have been passed around for a while now, about a week or so. And last week, I responded to one of them, and I got this loser that texted me back, and I said, "Oh, these are just like the polls that made you guys eating your own shoe afterwards, huh?" You know, pretty much, you put out these bullshit polls, and we knew they were fake, and they proved to be totally fake. Now you're telling us that his favorability is in the tank when you have billionaires from around the world and in this country, entrepreneurs who are already planning on putting billions of dollars, and already tens of thousands of new jobs are being pledged to the United States. Consumer ratings and homeowners and home builders, everybody's looking optimistic. American optimism wasn't higher than we've seen it in years over the December break, that week in between then and now. I mean, that month in between then and now. So you see all these things people are getting, and they're trying to beat everybody down with these bogus numbers to try to just get everybody down. Get down. We don't want people happy. We are in it for our comrades. We are in it for our comrades. The fellow travelers. That's it. The leftist fellow travelers are trying to beat this down in so many ways. And I'll tell you something. They got back to me and they said, well, you know what? The polls weren't incorrect because you know what? Hillary Clinton won by millions and millions of votes. First of all, 3 million votes. I understand it's plural in millions, so you tend to want to get a little bit redundant and say millions and millions and more and millions beyond millions and millions and millions to try to expand on what you've internalized as the real reason why you lost and the real reason why you should have won. Namely, that New York and California are the deepest, bluest states you'll ever find, and they are full of tens of millions of people who shouldn't even be fucking voting, that I promise you had an impact on the election. I promise you. So even in that respect, when somebody says, oh, no, the polls weren't correct, because if you look at the popular vote, Hillary did win by millions as her margin. No, Hillary took out a millions margin vote in two states of the union out of 50. Remember, everybody, we have 50 states. 50 states that are supposed to be somewhat sovereign, and you have these 3 million that come from two of them. So it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply at all. It doesn't apply at all to this. You're comparing apples to lamb chops. Okay? So it doesn't apply at all. And Gadget Doc says, take out California and Donald won by 2 million votes. Absolutely. 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 And we have 8 minutes before I'm going to call up my friend Josie. So I'm going to get away from this, the polls. Here's the other thing I wanted to get around to. Democrats want Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from the Trump-Russia probe. So they already want the incoming attorney general to recuse himself from the probe into the ties between Trump and Russia, which there are none. There are none. Trump might have been a beneficiary of foreign meddling, okay? Might have been a beneficiary, but did he have, he was, absolutely not. This is going to be a fucking farce. Fucking farce. But aside from that, think about this. What the hell does he have to recuse himself for? Jeff Sessions can and should and probably would be very, very ardent in finding out just how badly we are being hacked and just how badly we are being infiltrated in a cyber sense. Because whether or not Russia was the one who did it, or China did it, or North Korea did it, or the Germans did it, anybody, whether or not that is the fact, it needs to be, there needs to be a stop put to it. It needs to be a stop put to it. But he doesn't have to recuse himself because he's a Trump pick, because Trump allegedly would have benefited from some kind of a hack. This was all truthful information. We're not trying to find out who put bogus information out there that swayed the minds of American voters leading up to Election Day. It still comes down to the same point. You don't need to do this ridiculous stunt of even saying, recuse yourself, you got something in it. No, he doesn't. We need to make sure that our country's critical infrastructure in a cyber sense is secured. Absolutely. But what we read and what we were exposed to was true. It doesn't matter where it came from at that point. So it's ridiculous. And of course, we're just glazing over Loretta Lynch, who turned everything she touched into a political fiasco. Still going. Can't wait until she's gone, too. Boot her to the curb. Oh, my God. Kick those cankles to the curb. Goodbye, Loretta. Good night, nurse. Okay, I'm feeling it tonight. So desperate Democrats call for Trump's impeachment. We did that, Maxine. Trump eyes a 10% spending cut and 20% slash of federal workers, Washington Examiner. Do it. I'm rooting for you there too, Mr. Trump. New ABC polls, they show the drop in Trump's favorability. Did that bullshit. Democrats want Sessions to recuse himself. We just did that. Let me see here. Guys, I need you to watch this. We don't have time tonight, and I have to get off by 7:55, so we can't do it tonight. But we'll do it tomorrow. And in the meantime, watch it on your own. Part one and part two of the latest Project Veritas videos that are uncovering groups plotting criminal activity for Inauguration Day. One of those groups I reached out to today on Facebook to see if they want to join me on air, and of course they read it, but they did not respond. That was to Smash Racism DC. The group is called Smash Racism DC. I reached out. They read it at 3:51 p.m., and that was that. So they're being exposed. They're trying to block up the Metro. They're talking about punching people in throats. You want to talk? Tomorrow we're going to watch this together. It might be the entire episode because we have to. You want to talk about a movie rip? We're going to rip this because you have to see the weaklings. You have to see the limp-wristed weaklings that are sitting there talking about, well, we're going to just make it into a clusterfuck and we're going to just shut this fucker down. These limp-wristed I hope to God that they catch some of the wrath of these bikers that are coming into D.C. I hope to God that some of these throat punchers that catch the wrath of some of these the bikers who've claimed that they are going to, quote, form a wall of meat. I love that one. Wall of meat. Like to see them get through that. So, guys, I'm gonna call up Josie right now. I want to get her on just for some quick comment, and then we're gonna move on. Yeah, Nikki, kick those cankles to the curb, yo.
Hello.
And joining us live, my good friend, I love her so much. I've known her for years, and I can already hear her giggle. Her giggle makes me so happy. My good friend, Josie. Josie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, we had some talks years ago that I wish I could have remembered, but you have brought them up for me in the last couple of days because, of course, when I heard all the stuff that was going on now with one of Obama's last parting gifts to the country,
right,
and more specifically to the Cuban people, the repeal and the reversing of wet foot, dry foot policies. Now, I just want to know your opinion because you have an amazing story. Your family has an amazing story. And I just want to know right off the bat, when you heard about this, what was going on through your circle of friends and family?
Well, initially when we found out about it, we obviously started talking to people within the island and, you know, trying to find out the ins and outs about it. And it all started back when he went to visit. I guess that's when they made that whole thing happen in Florida. There was a big scandal that there was a huge family down there that had embezzled like over $400 million out of the Medicare program from the United States. And they had fled the country and were, you know, they were hiding in Santo Domingo. And then they ended up leaving there and they ended up going to Cuba hiding out. And what the rumors are out in the street is that those families were, their land was confiscated, everything that they had in the island was taken away, and that they have disappeared. And then shortly thereafter, this whole thing came to play. So everybody's putting two and two together, and they're saying, well, you know, Obama probably went there and said, you know, you give us these guys and we'll, you know, cancel out one of the policies that are out there that I'm able to do. And we think that's what's happening.
Now,
that's on the down low.
Yeah, on the down low. Okay, well, that's great to know what people are saying on the ground, because you know what? I think that is, at this point, it's the most credible kind of information there is, because what we've learned, at least in the last year alone, is you can't take anything that you get on the television from anybody.
Absolutely not.
You can't take anything seriously.
Nothing about that. You know, I kept hearing the news and listening to all these things. Oh, the people are so sad. They are so sad that their president has died. Let me tell you something. The people were threatened. They were told not to go outside of their homes. They told them that they couldn't go. You know, they couldn't turn on the radio. They couldn't have, you know, parties. They couldn't, you know, say even good morning. You couldn't say good morning, good evening, good night. You couldn't say anything that had the word good in it, because if somebody would hear you say that, they would take you in. There were people who were being arrested for going out and trying to earn money and, you know, to sell to the tourists. They didn't want anybody on the streets, and people were getting beat down and they were being arrested. I mean, there's footage of that people were able to take out of the country showing those things. So when I see the media portraying this stupidity of people feeling sorry and feeling sad, the only thing that they showed were the marchers that they told them, you all have to be at the square, you all have to cry, you all have to do this, or your families will be incarcerated. So you do what you need to do in order to survive.
So it's like it's pretty much like North Korea, where
Exactly. You have to apply, that's it. You have to go with what the government is dictating, because if not, it's your livelihood. You know, people leave, you stay. You know?
Yeah, I know. I know that when when all of the dictators in the Koreas and all that die, if you're not crying loud enough, people will take notice of you. So you're saying after Castro died, there was this type of crackdown and this type of heightening?
Absolutely.
My God.
Absolutely. They were being forced. They were being, you know, we know of people in the island themselves that, you know, somebody had just. They were making like a food thing outside, and they were preparing a meal, and the military came and took them all, and they took them out, and they were eliminated from the neighborhood because they were having a family gathering. There was no supposed to be any family gathering. There were kids, young kids, you know, walking down the street with headphones on. You couldn't listen to music. You couldn't watch TV, you know. There's this group of comedians that are in Florida who also have a radio station that have hysterical footage of things that they do, where they called the police station in Cuba, and they were making all these jokes, telling them, oh, you know, there's this guy who's a neighbor, and I'm calling, you know, because I'm seeing that they're having a throwdown and they're having a party, and the guy at the police station is like, well, give me their address and give me their names, and don't worry. You know, we'll go and take care of them. We'll go arrest them, blah, 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 you know. So they pulled this prank on these people, which was absolutely, I mean, amazing. And it demonstrated to the public exactly what they're doing. I wish they would have captions, because you would surely get a kick out of it, you know.
I have to check it out. And this is the type of insight. I got to have you on more. You should come into the studio and hang out with me one night.
That would be fun, and that would be very interesting.
Well, you're obviously not shaking at all. You're a social butterfly as it is. You can walk into anywhere and you come out with friends. But now, one last thing, because I want to get this. This is an amazing story that maybe we'll just do a little bit of it tonight, and then one night when you come in here, we'll talk about the full-fledged story. But tell us about your son's grandfather.
So my son is the grandson of Batista. And how that came about was his grandmother, my son's grandmother, was one of Batista's lovers. Her son, my son's father, when he was born, obviously he was not allowed to have the last name. And in order to get him out of the country, they had to get him out of the country with her maiden family name. And so that's how my son has that last name. And so that's Batista's grandson. And so that whole take on that is that Fidel was actually Batista's godson. And Fidel did not like the lifestyle that his godfather had, because he felt that he needed to have the same riches and whatnot. And that's where he wanted to overthrow the country. To take his godfather out of power and, you know, give everything to the people. And then he ended up being exactly like his, you know, godfather in the long run. So that's the gist of it, basically. You know, there's a lot more to it than that, but that's basically the gist of that. And he's the grandson.
as creepy and as horrifying as some of the stories that you hear from just all over the world from our history as just human beings, isn't it just amazing how things just link up and how it's just so fascinating how much of it, you know, we're train wreck. The humanity is a train wreck, but it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It is very. And you know, to us, it's very funny to sit and watch the news because obviously in the United States, we don't cover any news unless it's making somebody money or if somebody's getting, you know, all this media junk that has happened within the last few months has demonstrated that. And anybody who has not realized that, they're idiots. So at this point, if you have not figured that part out, they have hidden many of these things. And half of the things that have happened in that country and many, you know, many of these other socialist countries, it is that they sell you a lie and you believe the lie and you oppress the truth. So we know the gist of it from the inside because of, you know, family things that we have handed down to each other. From my father's side, you know, with his brothers, they tried to assassinate Fidel back when he was in power, trying to take over power, and he had to leave the country to Spain in order not to be killed and take my family out through Spain, you know, stuff like that. So this is just like, you know, little family secrets that throughout the years, when I hear people talk about Cuba, I want to, like, you need to shut up and get educated, because that would be like me talking about, you know, the Nazis and you know, the Jewish people. That would be the same thing. I have no idea. I have to trust that the stories that are passed down through generations are truth. And those are the ones that we need to keep alive so that nobody is, you know, that these things are not hidden from this generation coming up. You know, that they believe everything they read, everything that they see, it's truth, which is not, you know?
Yeah, so. and you know, you brought up the idea of socialist and communist governments, and I only have a couple more minutes, so I'm going to try to spin this into some kind of a... a question, but the one thing I would say is, and you're a woman of deep faith. Your whole family is very, 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 very entrenched. Your faith is very, very entrenched in your everyday life. And what would you say? I mean, for my own studies, I mean, I don't really have a very religious life, but I believe I have a spiritual one, and I really, really have been coming to more and more the side and the defense of religion, because what I've noticed here, especially throughout our history, is that many of the countries throughout the world, any of the Western culture, any of the Western republics, anything that has a Judeo-Christian influence, mm-hmm. where the family mm-hmm. the family is strong, where they have faith in something that is not government, faith in something that is not that promised to feed you and not promised to take care of you in every way from cradle to grave, when they have that mm-hmm. some sort of an independent, self-reliant faith that comes from somewhere other than a centralized power, that is where freedom usually reigns. And
exactly.
It's becoming very, very clear to me now that in all of these socialist, communist, very far left or far right authoritarian centralized governments in these countries, the first thing they do is try to rid it of
religion. Remove
religion.
Why? Because religion removes hope. If you remove hope from people, they have nothing to believe in. You remove faith and you have people that are hopeless, that have no place to go. So they believe something that is not true. They begin to believe lies. And it's not so much about a religion per se. It's about a relationship. You need to have a relationship in order, you know, a spiritual relationship, so that you are grounded, so that you are secure, so you know what is the difference between right and wrong. You know, anybody can sell you a lie. You know, but knowing to be able to depict the truth from the lie, that's what's important. And that's where my foundation comes from. You know, I have a biblical standing. I'm not the most, you know, knowledgeable person in the Bible, but I do follow my faith. I do practice my faith, and I have seen a great result in my family, in my personal business, in my lifestyle, and in the lifestyle of my son that's coming up and my grandkids. So, you know, all in all to say, if you remove religion, whatever it is, that's how you control people, because you remove hope. period.
Josie,
you can't have people without hope.
I'm so happy you spent some time with me tonight. I can't wait to have you in again.
You invited me. I appreciate it, and I hope I didn't, you know.
No. You were.
And if I did, I don't care.
No, say exactly. That's why I brought you on. This is fantastic. But I hope
that's
you.
All right,
I hope you have a great night, and I love you forever.
Okay. God bless.
All right,
take care.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye bye. Good friend. Good friend. I definitely have to have her in here. Let me see here. I want to thank you guys. I mailed out the bulk of all the letters today for the Patreon, and I want to tell you guys right now, if this is your first time watching, if you haven't subscribed or pledged anything to the show, I would like to pitch you a reason to. I'm putting everything I have into this, and I want to bring this somewhere, and I want to try to make sense of things in the small amount of time that we have. And I think that the conversations that we have are very, very important. Very important, even if it leads us to just other new questions and no answers. So patreon.com/quitefrankly, it's the way that you can show me just how much you love me, man or girl. Check out patreon.com/quitefrankly and see all of the free market offerings I have there for you. It is not just an asking for money. Of course, I'm always giving something back. I think it's very, very, very worth your time. And anything you pledge, even if it's just a dollar, gets you a shout out on the show. So if you don't have time to do that, please subscribe to the iTunes, to the podcast, share it with a friend, tell people about the channel, drive them here. Help me out. Thank you so much. Ahead of time, please and thank you. So let me shout out my bosses now. Ready? It's 7:52. Let me get a good. We need a good song. Oh, here we go. Here we go. All right, we got the Turtles. All right, Michael Wells. Michael Wells. He sent me a great letter. Matt Smith. Rudy Escarcega, Sega Genesis. Rudy Escarcega Genesis. Matt DeFabio, who we haven't seen him since last Friday. Who the fuck knows where he went? Brad Meyer. Brad, love you, my man. Nikki Solis. Sean Collinsry. Jackie Milam. StephanieKBeauty.com. Andrew Great Dame. Christian Peppas. Jenny Lee. Kate McCallum, Laura Veris, Maxwell and Caparato from Colorado, Eric Reitz, Reitz Crackers and Cheese, Brian O'Connor Jr., Mr. Gadget Doc, and say hello to Cam for us too, Brian. Marianne Hart, what's going on, Marianne? Perry and Stacy Little, I loved reading their letters all the time, and they went out today, too. Rob Corrado, what's going on, Rob? Hope everything's going well with you. Whitney McShann, Whitney, I'm waiting for your call, baby. Where are you? When are you going to call me, baby? I'm waiting for you, honey. Bren Antilles from the UK, captain of Rogue Squadron, and just an all-round great guy from Scotland Yard. Mike May, he was getting in touch with me today. He was very, very upset about Project Veritas. So, Mike May, we will get on to that tomorrow for sure. L.S. Dan Spratlin. Gonna take all the L.S. Dan there is. Pierre from Normandy, he went out today as well. The only one I actually, Brent Antilles is one of the only ones I haven't sent out yet because I ran out of stamps. I learned from Normandy, Pierre. I have to put three on every cross. Oceanic mailing, whatever. Koss, my good buddy John Costantino. Stephanie Evil from Gaslight.tv. Stephanie's a great, great gal. She has fantastic eye for good news. So there you go. John Giacotto, thank you for joining us, John. I wish you would make yourself known in the chat room. I can't wait to meet you. Tony Federici. And of course, Chancellor Ryan Valorum. And last but not least, Robin Stackoff. Thank you guys so much. It was a fantastic evening. I can't thank you enough. And tomorrow night we're going to lead with, let me see here real quick. We got Project Veritas, Atlanta Journal Constitution botches crime stats when they're defending John Lewis. They actually went and made Atlanta 13 times safer than it actually is to try to defend John Lewis, and the response that he got from Donald Trump in telling him to just take care of his business and in his district and stop with all the talk, which was completely well-deserved. So Atlanta goes out there and fudges the numbers there. It's almost like they're the NOAA and NASA trying to show that the world has been warming for longer than it has been. So you just can't trust any of these people. They are in it. Fellow travelers, they are looking to take over the fucking world. And that's another thing. One more reminder before you get off tonight. It's a late night thing. Sit back and go and find Stefan Molyneux of Free Domain Radio and listen to start listening to the 3.5 hour journey. That is the untold story, or the truth about McCarthyism. And of course, then go check out Blacklisted by History by Stanton Evans, M. Stanton Evans. Okay, I will be referencing to this a lot over the next couple of weeks. This is very important. It explains where we are now and where we came from, where all this came from. What else? That's it for now. I wish you guys nothing but the best. Good evening.